Odin reacted immediately, springing away. She moved with incredible speed, tasseled cloak swirling as she skidded across the wet cobblestones. The coins hit the ground behind her.
Orser, go!
He fled toward a nearby alleyway. Vin spun into a low crouch, hands and feet on the cool stones, alimentic metals flaring in her stomach. She burned steel, watching the translucent blue lines appear around her. She waited, tense, watching for... Another group of coins shot from the dark mists, each one trailing a blue line. Vin immediately flared steel and pushed against the coins, deflecting them out into the darkness. The street around her was wide for Luthadel, though tenements rose high on either side. Mist spun lazily, making the ends of the street disappear into a haze. A group of eight men appeared from the mists and approached. Vin smiled. She had been right. Someone was following her. These men weren't, however, the Watcher. They didn't have his solid grace, his sense of power. These men were something far more blunt, assassins. It made sense. If she had just arrived with an army to conquer Luthadel, the first thing she'd have done was send in a group of Allomancers to kill Elend. She was thrown off balance, her coin pouch jerking away from her waist. She ripped its string free, letting the enemy Allomancer push the coins away from her. The assassins had at least one coin shot, a Misting who had the power to burn steel and push on metals. In fact, two of the assassins trailed blue lines pointing to coin pouches of their own. Vin considered returning the favor and pushing their pouches away, but hesitated. No need to play her hand yet. She might need those coins. Without coins of her own, she couldn't attack from a distance. However, if this was a good team, then attacking from a distance would be pointless. Their coin shots and lurchers would be ready to deal with shot coins. Fleeing wasn't an option either. These men hadn't come for her alone. If she fled, they'd continue on to their real goal. Nobody sent assassins to kill bodyguards. Assassins killed important men. Men like Elend Venture, king of the Central Dominance. The man she loved. Vin flared pewter, body growing tense, alert, dangerous.
Four thugs at the front.
She eyed the advancing men. The pewter burners would be inhumanly strong, capable of surviving a great deal of physical punishment. Very dangerous up close.
And the one carrying the wooden shield is a lurcher.
Vin fainted forward, causing the approaching thugs to jump backward. Eight Mistings against one Mistborn was decent odds for them, but only if they were careful. The two coin shots moved up the sides of the street so that they'd be able to push at her from both directions. The last man standing quietly beside the lurcher had to be a smoker. Relatively unimportant in a fight, his purpose was to hide his team from enemy Allomancers. Eight Mistings. Kelsier could have done it. He'd killed an Inquisitor. She wasn't Kelsier, however. She had yet to decide if that was a bad or a good thing. Vin wished she had a bit of atium to spare and burned iron. This let her pull on a nearby coin, one of those that had been shot at her, much as steel would have let her push on it. She caught it, dropped it, then jumped, making as if to push on the coin and shoot herself into the air. One of the coin shots, however, pushed against the coin, shooting it away.
Let them think they have me trapped.
Vin crouched in the center of the street. The thugs approached a little more confidently.
Yes, I know what you're thinking. This is the Mistborn who killed the Lord Ruler? This scrawny thing? Can it be possible? I wonder the same thing myself.
The first thug ducked in to attack, and Vin burst into motion. Blood sprayed black in the darkness as she ducked beneath the thug's staff and slashed her weapons across his thighs. The thug's partner attacked her, blurringly fast, his muscles fueled by pewter. His staff whipped a tassel from Vin's mist cloak as she threw herself to the ground, then pushed herself back up out of the third thug's reach. A spray of coins flew toward her. Vin reached out and pushed on them. The coin shot, however, continued to push, and Vin's push smashed against his. A flurry of coins came at her from the other direction. Still tumbling in the air, Vin flared steel, giving herself an extra burst of power. Blue lines were a jumbled mess, but she didn't need to isolate the coins to push them all away. This coin shot let go of his missiles as soon as he felt Vin's touch. Vin hit the cobblestone's shoulder first. She rolled, flaring pewter to enhance her balance and flipped to her feet. At the same time, she burned iron and pulled hard on the disappearing coins. They shot back toward her. As soon as they got close, Vin jumped to the side and pushed them toward the approaching thugs. The coins, however, immediately veered away, twisting through the mists toward the lurcher. He quickly raised his shield. Vin was already moving again. She ran directly for the now exposed coin shot to her left, the one who had fallen to the ground. The other coin shot tried to distract Vin, but he was too slow. Vin pulled out her dagger, then yanked his pouch free.
One.
Vin spun, sweat flying from her brow. She now faced seven men down the corridor-like street. They probably expected her to flee. Instead, she charged. As she got close to the thugs, she jumped, then threw down the pouch she'd taken from the dying man. The remaining coin shot immediately pushed it away. Vin, however, got some lift from the coins, throwing herself in a leap directly over the heads of the thugs. One of them, the wounded one, had unfortunately been smart enough to remain behind to protect the coin shot. The thug raised his cudgel as Vin landed. She ducked his first attack, raised her dagger, and a blue line danced into her vision. Vin reacted immediately, twisting and pushing against a door latch to throw herself out of the way. She hit the ground on her side, then flung herself up with one hand. She landed skidding on mist-wetted feet. A coin hit the ground behind her. It hadn't come close to hitting her. In fact, it had seemed aimed at the remaining assassin coin shot. He'd probably been forced to push it away. But who had fired it?
Arsur?
But that was foolish. The Chondra was no Allomancer. And besides, he wouldn't have taken the initiative. Arsur did only what he was expressly told. The assassin coin shot looked equally confused. Vin glanced up, flaring tin, and was rewarded with the sight of a man standing atop a nearby building. A dark silhouette. He didn't even bother to hide.
It's him.
The Watcher remained atop his perch, offering no further interference as the thugs rushed Vin. She found three staves coming at her at once. She ducked one, spun around the other, then planted a dagger in the chest of the man holding the third. He stumbled backward, but didn't stop. Pewter kept him on his feet.
Why did the Watcher interfere?
Vin jumped away.
Why would he shoot that coin at a coin shot? You could obviously push it away.
Her preoccupation with the Watcher nearly cost her life as an unnoticed thug charged her from the side. It was the man whose leg she'd slashed. Vin reacted just in time to dodge his blow. This, however, put her into range of the other three. She actually managed to twist out of the way of two of the strikes. One, however, crashed into her side. The powerful blow tossed her across the street, and she collided with a shop's wooden door. She slumped to the ground, daggers lost. A normal person would be dead. Her pewter strengthened body, however, was tougher than that. She forced herself up to her feet and flared tin. The metal enhanced her senses, including her sense of pain, and the sudden shock cleared her mind. Her side ached where she'd been struck, but she couldn't stop. Not with a thug charging her, swinging his staff in an overhead blow. Crouching before the doorway, Vin flared pewter and caught the staff in both hands. She pulled back her left hand, then cracked her fist against the weapon, shattering the fine hardwood in a single blow. The thug stumbled, and Vin smashed her half of the staff across his eyes. Though dazed, he stayed on his feet.
I can't fight the thugs! I have to keep moving.
She dashed to the side, ignoring her pain. The thugs tried to follow, but she was lighter, thinner, and, much more important, faster. She circled them, coming back toward the coin shot, smoker, and lurcher. A wounded thug had again retreated to protect these men. As Vin approached, the coin shot threw a double handful of coins at her. Vin pushed the coins away, then reached out and pulled on the ones in the bag at the man's waist. The bag flew toward Vin. It was tied by a short tether to his waist, and the pull of her weight jerked him forward. The thug grabbed and steadied him. And since her anchor couldn't move, Vin was instead pulled toward it. She flared her iron, flying through the air, raising a fist. The coin shot desperately tried to free the bag. Too late. Vin's momentum carried her forward, and she drove her fist into the coin shot's cheek as she passed. His head spun around. As Vin landed, she brought her elbow up into the surprised thug's chin, tossing him backward. Her foot followed, crashing against the thug's neck. Neither rose. That was three down. The discarded coin pouch fell to the ground. She ignored the throbbing in her elbow and faced down the lurcher. He stood with his shield, looking strangely unworried. Vin's tin-enhanced ears overreacted to the sudden sound. Pain shot through her head, and she raised her hands to her ears. She'd forgotten the smoker, who stood holding two lengths of wood crafted to make sharp noises when pounded together. Movements and reactions, actions and consequences, these were the essence of Allomancy. Tin made her eyes pierce the mists, giving her an edge over the assassins. However, the tin also made her ears extremely acute. The smoker raised his sticks again. Vin yanked a handful of coins off the cobblestones, then shot them at the smoker. The lurcher, of course, pulled them toward him instead. They hit the shield and bounced free. As they sprayed into the air, Vin carefully pushed one so it fell behind him. The man lowered his shield, unaware of the coin Vin had manipulated. Vin pulled, whipping the single coin directly toward her and into the back of the lurcher's chest.
Four.
The thugs running toward her drew to a stop, and the smoker lowered his sticks. They had no coin shots and no lurchers. Nobody could push or pull metal, and Vin stood amid a field of coins. If she used them, even the thugs would fall quickly. All she had to do was... Another coin shot through the air, fired from the Watcher's rooftop. Vin ducked. The coin, however, didn't strike her. It took the stick-holding smoker directly in the forehead.
What?
Vin stared at the dead man. The thugs stalked forward, but Vin retreated, frowning.
Why kill the smoker? He wasn't a threat anymore.
Unless... Vin extinguished her copper, then burned bronze. She couldn't feel the thugs burning pewter. They were still being smoked, their alomancy hidden. Someone else was burning copper. Suddenly, it all made sense. It made sense that the group would risk attacking a full Mistborn. It made sense that the Watcher had fired at the coin shot. It made sense that he had killed the smoker. Vin was in grave danger. She only had a moment to make her decision.
Orser, go for the palace.
It was a code, of course. Vin jumped back, momentarily ignoring the thugs as her servant ducked out of an alleyway. He pulled something off his belt and whipped it toward Vin, a small glass vial, the kind that alomancers use to store metal shavings. Vin quickly pulled the vial to her hand. A short distance away, the second coin shot scrambled to his feet. Vin spun, drinking the vial. It contained only a single bead of metal, atium. She couldn't risk carrying it on her own body, couldn't risk having it pulled away from her during a fight. She'd ordered Orisir to remain close this night, ready to give her the vial in an emergency. The coin shot pulled a hidden glass dagger from his waist, charging at Vin ahead of the thugs who were getting close. Vin paused for just a moment, regretting her decision but seeing its inevitability. The men had hidden a Mistborn among their numbers. He would have atium, and there was only one way to fight someone who had atium. Though their Mistborn paused, the three unfortunate thugs continued to charge. Vin turned, standing beside the body of the fallen smoker. With one foot, she kicked the sound sticks into the air. A thug arrived, swinging. His diaphanous atium shadow of a staff blow passed through her body. Vin twisted, ducking to the side, and could feel the real staff pass over her ear. The maneuver seemed easy within the aura of atium. She snatched one of the sound sticks from the air, then slammed it up into the thug's neck. She spun, catching the other sound stick, then twisted back and hit him against the skull. He fell forward, and Vin spun again, easily dodging between two more staves. She smashed the noise sticks against the sides of a second thug's head. He fell and did not move again. Vin kicked his staff into the air, then dropped the broken sound sticks and caught it. She spun, twisting the staff and tripping the remaining thug. In a fluid motion, she delivered two swift yet powerful blows to his face. She fell to a crouch as the man died, holding the staff in one hand, her other hand resting against the mist-wetted cobbles. The Mistborn held back, and she could see uncertainty in his eyes. Power didn't necessarily mean competence, and his two best advantages, surprise and atium, had been negated. He turned, pulling a group of coins up off the ground, then shot them, not toward Vin, but toward Orisir. Vin ignored the coins, dashing forward. Even as a dozen coins pierced Orisir's skin, Vin threw her staff at the Mistborn's head. Once it left her fingers, however, its atium shadow became firm and singular. The Mistborn assassin ducked, dodging perfectly. The move distracted him long enough for her to close the distance, however. She needed to attack quickly. The atium bead she'd swallowed had been small. It would burn out quickly. And once it was gone, she'd be exposed. Her opponent would have total power over her. Her terrified opponent raised his dagger. At that moment, his atium ran out. Vin's predatory instincts reacted instantly, and she swung a fist. The blow took him square in the face. Then, with deft fingers, she snatched his glass dagger before it could fall and shatter. She swung it through her opponent's neck. Vin stood, the group of assassins dead around her. Her atium ran out. Suddenly, everything seemed to grow dull. The pain in her side returned to her mind. She'd had bruises, large ones, perhaps some cracked ribs. But she'd won again, barely. What would happen when she failed? When she didn't watch carefully enough or fight skillfully enough? Elend would die. Vin looked up. He was still there, watching her from atop a roof. Despite a half dozen chases spread across several months, she'd never managed to catch him. Someday, she would corner him in the night. But not today. She didn't have the energy. In fact, a part of her worried that he'd strike her down.
He saved me.
The Watcher stood for a few more moments, wreathed as always in the curling mists. Then he turned, jumping away into the night. Vin let him go. She had to deal with Orisir. She stumbled over to him, then paused. His nondescript body, in a servant's trousers and shirt, had been pelted with coins, and blood seeped from the several wounds. He looked up at her.
What?
I didn't expect there to be blood.
You probably didn't expect me to feel pain either.
Vin opened her mouth, then paused. Actually, she hadn't ever thought about it. Then she hardened herself.
What right does this thing have to chastise me?
Still, Orisir had proven useful.
Thank you for throwing me the vial.
It was my duty, mistress.
Orisir pulled his broken body up against the side of the alleyway.
I was charged with your protection by Master Kelsier. As always, I serve the contract.
Yes, the almighty contract. Can you walk?
Only with effort, mistress. The coins shattered several of these bones. I will need a new body. One of the assassins, perhaps?
Vin frowned. She glanced back toward the dead men, and her stomach twisted slightly at the gruesome sight of their fallen bodies. She'd killed them, 8 men, with the cruel efficiency that Kelsier had trained in her.
This is what I am. A killer, like those men.
That was how it had to be. Someone had to protect Elend. However, the thought of Orisir eating one of them, digesting the corpse, letting his strange Chondra senses memorize the positioning of muscles, skin, and organs so that he could reproduce them, sickened her. She glanced to the side and saw the veiled scorn in Orisir's eyes. They both knew what she thought of him eating human bodies. They both knew what he thought of her prejudice.
No, we won't use one of these men.
You'll have to find me another body, then. The contract states that I cannot be forced to kill men.
Finn's stomach twisted again.
I'll think of something.
His current body was that of a murderer, taken after an execution. Vin was still worried that someone in the city would recognize the face.
Can you get back to the palace?
With time.
Vin nodded, dismissing him, then turned back toward the bodies. Somehow she suspected that this night would mark a distinct turning point in the fate of the Central Dominance. Straff's assassins had done more damage than they would ever know. That beat of Atium had been her last. The next time a Mistborn attacked her, she would be exposed, and would likely die as easily as the Mistborn she'd slain this night.